Welcome to the Media Ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
Need that encouragement. That is what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the battle of community because, folks, it is a battle. And if you'll just go to the second slide there, I want you to think about this statement and if you'll just take it, wrestle with it this week. We're going to break it down one more. And community is where we find our identity. What do you think about that? Community is where we find our identity. Or the big question would be, where are we finding our identity? Right? Where do we find that? And you say, well, what are you talking about? Identity. Identity is just everything wrapped around that big question, who am I? Who am I? Why am I here? All the big questions in life. Does anybody care? Do I have a purpose? Am I just a drop in the ocean among everything else? Is there any real value to who I am? Folks, I'm convinced that most of us, we are more in the battle and more in the bondage of living our lives from adolescence into adulthood, just struggling, fighting to create and to manage and to work for our identity. Anybody relate to that? You know what I mean by to create an identity? I mean, the whole social media, folks, is built on this universal principle that we all are striving to find a place to belong, to try to find worth and value, and who am I, and trying to create and manage this persona or this image that we're going for to try to get value, right? And we're working for it more than we realize unless we have freedom from this, unless we are getting our identity from the one who knows us best and the one who created us for community, ultimately. Otherwise, our only other option is that we strive, right, and we work and try to create, right, something. And any parents in the house, you know this battle, don't we? And sometimes it brings a refresher back to when we were that age, but the problem is if this is not kind of addressed in adolescence, it moves right on into adulthood and even more creating, more striving, more managing of our identity and our value, right? And sometimes the wheels fall off, right? With that burden, right? Because it eventually, it just is a house of cards that is there. I just say to any young people in the house, the battle is on. Be aware of what is going on, right? That adolescent move to try to find who I am, the whole peer pressure, right? We know, folks, the universal principle, who I hang out with is going to be the stamp that influences who I'm going to become. It's just universal, whether you're an adolescent or whether you're an adult. Hopefully, we move into adulthood that we learn as we go, but oftentimes we don't, because if this doesn't get healed, we bring this right back into, and we keep getting the same thing we've been getting year after year and no real breakthrough because we haven't made the hard decisions and we haven't seen, right, and either for one reason or another been willing to put our foot forward in faith to receive this amazing gift that God wants to pour out right inside us, which is the foundation, a firm idea of who we are, our identity, really shoring that up in our lives. And folks, it's amazing. But I think that I think for many even Christians who've been in church for decades is that we have come to Jesus and we go to church, we do the religious right thing, Bible study and all these other things, but we've never allowed the gospel for one reason or another to come deep and radically transform our identity and give us freedom in this area. We're still in the midst of the Christian life trying to create and manage and work for our identity. Some people in vocational ministry are the worst at this. If this isn't healed by the gospel, then we think it is our good works. It is our spiritual work that we're getting our identity from, our value from. And folks, this is just a weight. This is a destructive weight, and it goes all the way back to the beginning. This battle for for community. And finding our identity in that community goes back to the garden. It's nothing new. All the way back to the original temptation was, hey, you can do this without God, right? The enemy to Adam and Eve, man, come on. Just take the apple. You'll be a God one day. God's holding out on you. All the lies, every lie that comes our way, it's tied back to the original lie. There's nothing new under the sun when it comes to the lies of the enemy towards our soul. And that lie is the lie of independence. It's the lie that says that I can live without God. I can handle my identity. I can handle the big who am I questions without God. I'm just going to manage fine in life, right? And that has really set the course of all history. But we know, don't we, deep inside our soul, the universal longing for belonging. We all long to belong somewhere. This is, we all need a tribe, right? We need a people to belong to. We all are striving, creating more than we realize, right, to be a part of this group or that group, right, to find our identity and to meet some unfelt need to be home, to have family, right? And all that is tied together, folks. The idea of family, community, home, it flows from the very identity of God. So here's the first major point as we move along. But God created us in His image. And He created us with the need for community. He created us to be in community with God and with God's people. And we're created in His image. And the only way we're going to come into the fullness of our identity, who we are, is not on an isolated, independent path. That is what the enemy wants to do, is isolate us. And isolation is always destructive. God's called us to move. And this is the work of Jesus. The Father inside this, the Godhead that is working perfectly, right? One God, three persons. And folks, this is why Jesus is good news. This is why the gospel transcends every other philosophy, path, anything there is in the world, because we have a God that lives in community, that lives in love. It's who He is. Do you realize no other path can explain that? No other path can explain the universal desire across culture, across time, the desire for community, the desire to belong, the desire for family, the desire for intimacy. It flows from the very identity of God. Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit living in perfect community and love and intimacy. And He created you in His image, so you have that same desire in you. And you were created to be in the garden and walking fellowship with God. But from the garden on, right, our sin nature, our this flesh, this struggle with independence, we struggle with the same thing. We're going to do it our way. We're going to reject God's word and God's people, and we're going to go get busy, and we're going to do something else and think that we can manage our identity on our own. What happens is we get down the road, don't we, in life, and we've just created stuff, and maybe now we're on the web posting stuff, trying to create some image, some persona, feel good about ourselves somehow, working towards hard to try to get value in our lives. And folks, it's a house of cards, and I think we all know that, and we've all been there in more ways than we would realize. Let me just read for us here. There's so many passages we could go to, but just the first one here is Ephesians chapter 2, and Paul has been talking here just some big, lofty, beautiful stuff in the first part of Ephesians about what Jesus has done is come, and he's was sent by the Father to rescue us, right, to bring us out of isolation, bring us out of this independent path away from God, and to restore us. And And this is not some just individual me and God thing, this personal relationship with God. Maybe I grew up in a tradition that all the talk was this personal relationship with God, and that's true. But unfortunately, the path was often communicated. You pray with God, and now He saved you. Now you're saved, and you're a child of God. And what was completely left out was the majority of the Gospels. Jesus didn't save you to be an island. The Scripture is clear on this. He saved you into His family, into the family of God, into community. Because God is, what is He about in history? He's about drawing, right, all those who will hear the good news into a family, because God, that's His original intent. He creates in His image because He wants eternal fellowship with us. He wants a large family. Love has a way of always overflowing. Love creates life. And inside the Trinity, in God's grand plan, was to create those that Father, Son, Holy Spirit could share their endless, bountiful grace and goodness for all eternity. He's inexhaustible, folks. And His joy is to share His inheritance, right, for all eternity. It will never go away, of God's pouring out our loving Heavenly Father, His destiny and goodness on our life. And so Paul comes, says these words, I'm going to pick up in 19. He says, so then, he's saying this right to the church, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. You ever felt like a stranger? You ever felt like an alien? Or let me rephrase it. You ever felt alone? You know, the number one problem today, probably if we wield it all down, really, that is aloneness, especially in this valley. My own personal encounter with people in Aspen, the number one theme that keeps coming up is lack of good community, lack of good relationships, lack of support. I'm alone. And if you're paying any attention, some of that stuff is getting put out there on the web. Desperate cries. And the enemy, the battle for community is there from the very beginning, right? The enemy, his goal is always to isolate, to move people away from God, get them busy, get them looking at other, trying to form and create community in their own, get them outside of their dependence on the larger family for support and encouragement. Isolation will always lead to bondage, and bondage always leads to death. You'd think we would wake up, we would know this in this valley, right? I mean, with the trauma, I don't know if you've heard it, the trauma continues at a deep level of depression and suicide, right? The tragedy of the loss in the battle for community. And folks, this is the enemy. He's at us. It's just like a war, right? If the enemy, if we can get isolated from the troops, we're in trouble, right? We're in big trouble. And Jesus came and to take away this aloneness, this deep feeling of, where do I belong? Who am I? And is there someone who loves me and has a plan for me and is significant? Folks, I believe with all my heart that for every one of us in there this morning, in coming here, if you were to hear a very personal word from God over your life this morning, that you, in all the universe, was created uniquely you, and that God had you on His mind before creation, and that He loves you, and He has a plan for your life, a destiny for your life, and He wants to pour out a blessing over your life, and He wants to give you grand purpose in your life. Man, that's transforming, isn't it? Because aren't all of us desperate for, I mean, we're looking for God's word. We're looking for God's direction. We're looking like, God, does it matter what I do? Does it matter what job I take? Does it matter what city I live in? What about this relationship or this lack of relationship? What about this brokenness? God, does it matter? Do I matter? Do you even see me? And folks, over and over again, the gospel is very clear. God sees you. He sent His Son after you on a rescue mission. And if you will, by faith, receive, you can't work for it. You got to lay down all you're creating, all you're managing, right? All you're working to create this identity and this safety. And you've got to open your heart to God's gospel and allow Him to come in. And if you do, the Spirit of God, the promise of the good news is He will come in and He will start a renovation process like none other. And He'll create His temple, a dwelling place for Him inside your heart. And He wants to birth life and abundance inside your soul and do things through you and in you that you can't even dream of right now. And the whole course of that process of growing in that is in the context of community, the gathered body of believers, as we gather together to encourage one another. I was telling the first service, this week I got invited to this think tank out in San Francisco, which was, what a wild place that is. But we walked the streets, we're all over the place, we're actually having our meetings in the ghetto, but just a small circle of folks that are just trying to go after authentic church and really make a difference. And one of the exercises, you know, we did, and we're going to do it in here at some point, but on one side of the column was church tradition. Our church tradition was on the right hand, and the other one was the commands of God, the essentials. and just really talking through what is God really concerned about. We gather together, like this morning, what is he really concerned about? And do you realize that, and just think about your church history, think about the discussions, think about the wars and all the stuff, you know, and especially when a building project comes and people get upset about the color of the carpet or it's hymns rather than rock and roll or rock and roller than hymns. Just go down the list, right? You know, none of that matters. It's the one another's. Ultimately, God is looking, are you being my people? Are you manifesting and living the Spirit of God through you, a changed life, loving people? Are you available to serve people with the spiritual gifts and speak truth and blessing? Are you encouraging each other? It's 32, 36, I can't remember, one another's in the New Testament. This is what the Father's concerned by. He's looking down. Are you being my people? It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how much money you give. It doesn't matter how great an identity you've created. If you do not know how to love as God loves, and I'm not talking about the worldly love, we talk about love out there, but people have no definition or benchmark for what that is. Love is from God. God is love. He's the Trinitarian love. He's the only one who can explain love because he lives in love, perfect love, and he created you to be in love with him, and he wants to love you more than you would ever realize. And he wants to come in and do this work inside our souls. He wants to bring birth this abundant life that Jesus has and set us free from all this striving for our identity. But it must be in the context of community. It's how he works it out. Okay? So I want to quickly move on to the next one here, just to the how-to, and then I want to open it up and get some feedback and let you all contribute. Move back to 1 Corinthians 12 and... Folks, the question is, how do we do this? Okay, how do I become part of community with God? I mean, the scripture talks about experiencing the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. How do I do that, right? And how do I step in and how do I become part of God's people? Remember, he said in what we just read was, "Boy, you're no longer strangers." And if you go back in that chapter, he says you used to be far off. Right? In other words, you used to be away from, eliminated from the presence of God when God's people, he's talking about the Old Testament here, would come together in the very presence of God. But now, because of Jesus, you've been brought near. There's so many people who come to church and they still feel like on the fringe. You ever been to church and you feel kind of like a stranger? We've all been there. Right? We've come and we wonder, man, is anybody care about me in this place? Is anybody willing to talk to me about God in this place? Anybody willing to come alongside me in this place? And again, the lies of the enemy are, look, nobody in here can relate to you. Man, look how you've messed up. You got to clean yourself up before you come. You see, and we've all, that those are the lies of the enemy. Good luck trying to clean yourself up. That's why Jesus came. And that's exactly what we're here to do, to encourage each other in this thing, because God uses his people in community to speak life into each other, to bring support into each other, to serve each other with all the many gifts, right, that are part of God's word. So 1 Corinthians 12, powerful verses 12 and 13 says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." And what he's saying, a strong message to church, like, look, don't stay on the fringes, Paul is saying. Don't stay alienated. Press in. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy to pull you away with distraction, and even if it's a good distraction, stay connected to the body. You will lose life when you are untapped from the body, or as the other analogy Jesus used, when you get unplugged from the vine. And you don't have the living sap coming through you. It's only in community that happens. It is only as a family gathering together that God's presence moves in this way. It is never an independent, isolated self journey. It is always a journey of community. And folks, we know the destruction, right, of the enemy when it comes to isolation. And as I said before, anybody in ministry, right, isolation is the killer. When we don't give ourselves to each other in community. We need each other's voices, right, to speak into our lives. So I want to give you three things, and then we can talk about them this morning, just out of the verse here. But let me finish the verse. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. He's talking about the church, okay? In Ephesians, we talked about the temple analogy, right? It's building a house. The cornerstone is Christ Jesus, and God is building this house for His Spirit is going to dwell in that house. Here, He's talking about the body analogy, right? For the body of Christ, each of us are vital, vitally important, and if one of us is not serving, the body's missing out. Verse 13, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one Spirit. Let me just say a couple things on verse 13. What does this mean? For in one Spirit we were baptized. We were baptized into the body, into the church. This is what's missing in a lot of, at least in my tradition, this was not really emphasized. It was more emphasized about this personal decision I just made, and it wasn't really communicated that, no, what God did, what the Spirit did is now placed me. This word baptized is not talking about water baptism specifically. It's talking about, and this is such beautiful language, it's talking about the Spirit of God immersing me into a new family. Washing over my loneliness, washing over my alienness, washing over all of my struggle with my own identity of trying to find a place to belong. He's immersed me into the family of God. And that baptism is a powerful word, just like it relates to water baptism, coming, going down, having washed away all that stuff, coming up out of the water. The analogy of new life, that God has washed away these things. He's given me a new life as part of His family, as part of His church, as part of the body of Christ. He's spoken into our lives and immersed us. I love that the language that talks about being immersed into one body, because all these big questions of identity, the who am I questions, this is what He's talking about. The Spirit of God, His love, the love of God, His plans for you, His ideas for you, all of that is what this is talking about, being immersed in that. Now I'm living in this new life where my identity, my future, my calling, my giftedness is all coming from my Heavenly Father, right? My whole orientation from being a man pleaser. And by the way, when we create our own identities, create them, right? Manage them, and our identity, our persona, all that kind of stuff is we are man pleasing. Every bit about that endeavor is trying to please man in some way, and it is always unhealthy. This is why you take a man and woman who come together and try to be married, where both of them have been creating their own identity, and they come together thinking that this other person is going to what? Help meet that need. This never goes well. This is why both need to be finding their identity in the Lord. When they come together, it's a beautiful dance. It's a beautiful compliment, right? And so this immersion that the baptism is talking about is in this newness of receiving everything that God, right, has for us. And I love and of course, it says Jews nor Greeks, slaves nor free, is the massive nature of the New Testament. There is no distinction. So God's love, His invite, what He wants to do is for all people, right, of all time. And it says that we were made to drink of one Spirit, the ongoing life in the Spirit of God. So with that said, let me just give you three things real quick, and we can chat about these. First one, folks, I hope you write these down, take a picture, whatever, think on them, take these two scriptures, let God speak to your own soul. This is a big issue. Stop constructing our identity and receive it by grace. Many people have said they're Christians, many people have come to Jesus, but they're still in the bondage of this identity thing. And folks, when somebody can't move on into really experiencing the blessings of the Bible, it means that they have not released this managing of their identity and received it by grace. And that's it. We can't work for it. Anything you work for, anything I work for, it's a house of cards. It's like religion. It's just a bunch of things to try to be good and try to meet some approval, and it'll be a house of cards, right? The Christian path is the path of grace. It's the profound nature that God loves us. We don't deserve it, but He sent His Son after us, right, to wash over our sins, every bit of it, right? And not just that, but to, by grace, which is pouring out of the gift of God over us, to strengthen us. So this idea of stop constructing, and we might need some, a lot of us need somebody to walk with us on this journey, to speak into our life, to speak words of truth of how we're constructing. But man, folks, when we get this, when the Spirit of God, when I'm free from having to do that, and I'm free to mainly, my motivation is to please God and not be bound up by, I've got to please man. Now I'm in a place to live in this abundance Jesus has for me. Now I'm in a place for God to really use me in a profound way, right? If Casey went into the workplace and he saw Ron, he says, oh, man, there's that guy. Oh, and he just, like most of the time, and you just try to avoid each other rather than do the deep work of, God, what do I do here? You know what? I want to please you, God, and I need you to make this. And what did God, when we invite God in, he redeems the situation. Supernaturally goes far and beyond, right, what we could ever imagine that God could do. Second thing. Folks, stop depending on religion. This is huge. As community, and depend on the Holy Spirit. Here's the problem with religion, is that religion has filled the gap with structure. Listen carefully to me. All kinds of ritual and structure, man's traditions. A lot of us have come into faith with a lot of structure, a lot of tradition, a lot of things that we hold on tight to, right? We're more prideful about and committed to our, quote, denomination than we are to what God's Word says, what God is really concerned about. All that will do, it will be a barrier to God's people moving in to being God's people in God's community. Right? Again, on the heart issues, all the one another's that we've talked about. Encourage each other, love one another, bear one another's burdens, on and on and on. Forgive each other. Wow. That's what God's concerned about. And those kind of things can only happen when God's people see themselves as a family and live in community with each other. See, a lot of people want community. They long for community, and this is especially true for Christians. And they come and they join a church, but you know what? When it comes time to be and live in community, we don't really want it. Whoa, wait a minute. You're speaking to my life and I'm held responsible for what I say and how I live with you? Whoa. No, I still want to live independently. I don't need that advice. I'm going to just do what I need to do. And folks, that's a quick, listen very carefully to me, that's a quick revelation that we are still under the bondage of creating our identity. When we're unwilling, when we step into community, let others speak into our lives, when we're unwilling to be vulnerable with our struggles and to realize I need somebody else encouraging me, I need somebody else giving me strength and speaking into the situation. Or we make big decisions in life, a new job, moving to a new city, who we're going to marry, who we're going to date, and we don't bring anybody else into that and pray for that, it just reveals how independent we are, how much we've been manufacturing our identity, and how little we've invited God in. It's a true test. Is there any decisions that we're making right now that are on the table that we haven't invited our Christian brothers or sisters into? If that's the case, I'm just going to be very blunt with you. You're living an independent life, creating your own identity, and have left God out of it. And you say, oh, no, but I pray to God. I pray to God. You will find nowhere in this New Testament any individual path. Nobody's life in here was removed from God's people and relying, and matter of fact, desperate, desiring God, God's people to speak in and affirm it. And I'm learning this, over and over again, right? But boy, there's something so encouraging when I'm praying for something. God, I need your direction on this. And I bring it to other people, and I get a prophetic word of encouragement and clarity from someone into my life for that. Folks, I'm telling you, God will speak, and he wants to speak through those that we do community with. Is it risky? Of course it is. Anytime intimacy is risky, community is risky. We're fallen. We're selfish. That's what we have to work it out, and we have to depend on the Holy Spirit, right, for that process. Third one. Folks, stop serving by only our natural giftedness. Start pursuing and using our supernatural giftedness. You see, all of you are uniquely, God created you with some, and I say natural because really there is no natural category. It's all supernatural because remember, you were created. You had nothing to do with your creation. You had nothing to do with your natural gifts that you have. They were supernaturally, your soul, the very breath in your soul. I don't believe all the junk out there today. Right? Where did that come from? It wasn't a bunch of just accident coming together. Who breathed your soul, your unique personality into your being, who you uniquely are, your stamp of identity? That's from your Heavenly Father. That's from your Heavenly Father. And He knows these wonderful gifts that He's put before you. But He also has supernatural gifting when we open up to the Spirit of God. And this is needed in the community of God's people, right? So that we'll grow as a community. God speaks through God's people to encourage us, right? And so we serve with all of our gifting. But we don't stop there. Because God has some amazing gifts when the Spirit of God comes. Man, there's some cool stuff that happens. And that's why He says, pursue earnestly. It's a command, by the way. It's not optional. But some of us have grown up in church where it was optional. There is no option. It's a pursuit, a command. Why? Simply because so we can, as Paul says over and over again, so we can build each other up. That's how God does it. He uses the Christian community of believers, the family of God, to build each other up, to come into the fullness of our identity, the fullness of our giftedness, of who God created us to be. This is why discipleship, this is why Bible study and community, all of these things, serving together, mission, all of what God commands His people to do when they gather together are so important. So much more I could say here, but I want to just stop and just open it up. Three things. If you got a comment, short comment that you'd like that would be good. If you got a question, that would be good. If you have a prophetic encouraging word in light of what we have just read here that's to bring encouragement to the body, bring it. So let me have it. Let's chat a little bit. Any thoughts? Billy.
Love for many involved the control and manipulation, seeking self-gratification and return for minimum commitment.
It's beautiful.
When we look at what our God's love is, His original love, we just go right back to Genesis and say, so God created mankind in His own image. Yeah. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, and created them.
It's good.
It's just so important, guys, that, you know, what Steve is preaching here, what he's saying here is, look, guys, our community, we surrender to each other and surrender to His love, our identity comes from Him.
Yeah.
And that's where it originally really comes from. And we can bring each other up, we can build each other up. As Paul speaks about building up the church.
It's a good word, bro. It's awesome, man. You know? It's awesome, Billy. Thanks, brother. Absolutely. Yes, young lady. Yes. Can you speak a little louder, because so everybody can hear?
Yes.
Okay.
With the intimacy, I kind of just thought about this Bible is for intimacy as intimacy.
Yeah, that is good.
And then with the love thing, God is love, but we also have the choice to love. Most people think love is a feeling, but it's actually a choice.
Wonderful. Preach it. That's great. Thank you for sharing. Everybody hear that? You keep stepping up. God's got some great things for you. Keep boldly stepping out. And how old are you? 14. You know, right? That word, what you just said, how you define intimacy and love. If there's anything 14-year-olds need today, is they need a friend to walk alongside them and have a conversation about what real intimacy is, what real love is. Right? And to take a path that is going to bring God's blessing in their life and not sell out, right, to the lies, right? In your age bracket, right, the battle is on, right, for this. So that's awesome. Keep at it. Beautiful. Somebody else. Yeah. That's it. Wonderful. That's fantastic. Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. Right? So I can't forget that one. Go ahead. Yes, back here in the back.
I was in this place. How we haven't found the right
Thank you. Yeah, and that's awesome. There it is. Again, the power of testimony, right? We're scared, but when God does something in our lives to be vulnerable and share that story and that testimony, we're scared. We think, oh boy, people look at us. What God just blows that thing up. A blessing, right? It just flows over. You don't realize the power of the testimony. People need that hope. That's how we get encouragement, right? It's good. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you, Ryan, for sharing your heart. Somebody else, yeah. Good, Myra. This is a strong word of encouragement. Y'all come on up. Strong word of encouragement there, gang. Just like we're talking about the battle. We all, we mess up, and what do we all been there. And the first thing we want to do is go hole up, and we want to just isolate. It's the very opposite of what we need, right? And boy, the power of being able to reach out to those that you see who are isolating. Just get into their life. Get into their grill. What's the worst that's going to happen? Right? Love on them. Find out what's going on right in there. And Scripture speaks a lot about, right, reaching out, bringing people back in, right? Back in. They're surrounded by the support, right, of God's people to love and to support them. It's really important. Well, as we prepare to come to the table and anybody just have a word, I'm just to close this time, I'm going to call it a prophetic word. The Scripture prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and exhort the body, and it's something in line with what God is doing here this morning that is for us. And we've been pressing into this gift, and does anybody just have a word, something that's just, man, just want to bring it to us here as we close this evening, or this morning, I should, huh? I missed, where? Correct. That's it, Craig. Awesome, bro. Awesome.
Within it, and with everything that you've been saying for the last few months, it's been a lot about culture and community.
Yeah.
And culture in today tries to build that. And to me, that's a fallacy of identity that you're talking about. I've tried for so long building my ego up only to stumble upon myself again and again. And it's not until
truth. Man, Craig, that's all. I hope you all heard that. Man, brothers, we're excited for you guys, what God is doing. And folks, there's how many people are in Re-Engage right now? How many couple? Over 50 couples, or not couples, but total, but couples of 50, you know, journeying. And if you're married here, if you, it's closed now, but, right, or a couple more, maybe, because we had to expand leaders. So if you're here, guys, it's a week, how many, 15 weeks? Roughly, and meet here on Wednesday nights. Well, I'm struggling. But gang, let me just tell you, it is a profound in community. Man, what God is doing in marriages, and again, this is a place to come, just be honest with each other and let God speak, right? When we open up like that, lay the ego down and pick up the identity God wants for us, supernatural things happen. Supernatural things. So please, Lana's here, Blake's back here on the base, if you got questions about Re-Engage.
Steve.
Yeah.
Can I share one other thing?
Yeah, of course. Go.
Yeah, stay up here because I want you to pray for us before. I want to share something with you all that just seems appropriate and timely because we're talking about community.
Yeah.
I had a dream, 10 days ago, and I bet this has happened 4 times in my life, and it was for me. It was for me, but I'm going to share it with you, and maybe some of you can get something out of this. But so vivid, 10 days ago, it was so real. It was like I was living life. I was with some of my close friends, and one of them, we were unloading some music gear, and one of them took my guitar case out of the back of a pickup and just chucked it, like 20 feet. And I looked at them, and I said, did you just throw my guitar case? And they go, yeah, why are you mad at me? It's in a case. I went and I grabbed the guitar case, I opened it up, and it's this specific guitar that I've not owned. It's made by Bill Collings years ago, this specific guitar, and I'm like, wow, enamored. And apparently it's mine, and it's cracked from here up through the neck completely to the other end. I'm looking at that. I can't believe it. Somehow, an old friend, Sandy Monroe, who used to own the music store in town, he shows up in the dream. He says, let me see if I can fix that. Okay, please. He hands it off to Mac Bailey. They take it to Mac's home. I go back to my home, and I tell my wife, you can't believe what this person did. They destroyed my guitar. They threw my guitar case. As a matter of fact, let me show you what they did. Let's go over to Mac's house. We go over to Mac's house. There's the guitar. Look, I say to Jen, look at this. She's looking at it. And all of a sudden, I realized this is not Mac's home. And in fact, I don't know whose home it is. And we just let ourselves in the front door. And all of a sudden, when I realized that, something entered the room and was swirling around us with strength. And it began to pull both of us to the floor. I was using all my strength to try and hold Jen up. We've got to get out of here. We get out of there. We get in the car and we're gone. I wake up. I go downstairs. 10 minutes later, I'm telling Jen what my dream was. And I still don't know what's going on. And when I finished telling her about the dream, the interpretation of the dream came to me, and it was this. And again, this is for me, but maybe somebody could benefit. The enemy will use the sins of others to draw you into his den. That's it. The enemy will use the sins of others to draw you into his den. Mm-hmm. There's a risk at being involved in community, mm-hmm, because we're imperfect. And that same scenario could be turned around on me, mm-hmm, 10 times over, 100 times over. There is a risk. There is a very, very immediate risk to us when we're involved in a community. Who hurts you the most? The ones closest to you. Who loves you the most? Come on. But let us not be afraid to enter community more deeply, more readily, more vulnerably, now.
Yeah.
Because the benefits are too great.
Yeah.
The benefits are too great, church.
Mm. It also means, again, how much more we need the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
To depend on that, to bring about healthy community and help us respond appropriately.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, bro, that's awesome. Gang, again, Acts tells us, right, in the church age that what should be common among God's people is dreams and visions. And don't think that unusual, right? And sometimes we don't get an interpretation, and sometimes there's multiple, you know. So pay attention to your dreams, right? And bring them to, right? There are people who are gifted, just like we see in the Scripture, that can bring interpretation. God speaks to us. Don't limit how God wants to speak to you. This is the supernatural gifting we're talking about that God has for all of this. Why it's so important to be in community, because you get out there with some of this stuff, and boy, yeah, or you can run into some scary stuff, right? There's protection, the Spirit of God in His church and among His people, right, for these things. It's awesome. hope that's encouraging to you, folks. Pay attention. God is speaking. He wants to speak to you. When we open our hearts, God does amazing things. Right? Amazing things. Isabella, got something real quick?
I just want to share with you guys a vision that I had last Sunday that has become very personal to me. God was showing me that He, you know, Jesus was building the church, this church, and it was brick by brick, and He was building it up. And I just want to encourage all of you that you will trust in the work that Jesus is doing here, and that you will love what He loves, because He loves His bride. He loves this body. And even though we might not all be perfect and do everything perfect, I just want to encourage you that you will trust the mantle of leadership that He has put over this church, because when you don't do that, there's a risk that you will start judging those people that God has entrusted with the work of building out His bride, and that's a dangerous place to be, because the more you do that, the more isolated you get and the more lonely you get. But when you see the bride of Christ and you love His bride the way He loves it, God will do something in your heart too. And you're not going to be outside by yourself. You're going to be included in the body of Christ that He is building up.
Yeah, it's a good word, Isabella. Thank you for that. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, for the voices of your people, Lord, you hopefully this encourages God. Everyone here to leave it. God wants to speak into your soul. He wants to do more than we'd ever imagine. And Lord, I pray for the breaking down of the walls, the creating, the managing of our identity, the ego. Lay it down. Surrender it. And Jesus, you start your work. Bring that freedom, God, into this house, into this place. Make us a healthy family, Lord. Holy Spirit, move in this. And Lord, let no one leave here, Lord, if they need a ministry, if they need encouragement and prayer. God, as we come to your table, we rejoice in you, Jesus. May we exalt in you. You're the one who's come after us, God. Oh, your love and the goodness you have for us. Lord, we rejoice in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.